Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to another edition of AEW Unrestricted. Tony Schiavone with former first-round draft pick from the Washington Huskies and Seattle Sonics, Detlef Schrempf. Great.
R.I.P. Detlef Schrempf's not dead, but the Sonics are.
I know.
In my heart.
That's a Detlef Schrempf jersey she's got on there.
It is. I wanted to write it off on my taxes, so I wore it here.
How about that? it's Aubrey Edwards, also known as Miss Bellevue.
Yes. bougie as fuck.
And, of course, we are very happy to have you with us. Good to see you.
Thank you. You know who else I'm happy to have here?
I'm sure you are.
I'm happy to have two of the original members of the Dark Order. Stu Grayson.
What's up?
And Evil Uno.
Hi.
Yeah, buddy.
Hello.
Formerly known as the Super Smash Brothers.
Correct.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit, though.
Great.
All right, before we start, I want to read through the giant list of accolades, because you guys have been together for quite a while.
Yep.
So,
yes. About 14,
15. 14,
15, yeah.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez, that's like four times longer than my whole career in wrestling.
Yep.
All right, two-time Alpha 1 Wrestling Tag Team Champions, one-time Chikara. I can't even pronounce that.
Campeones de Parejas.
There you go.
Wow.
One times Combat Revolution Tag Team Champions. Two-time Royal Canadian Tag Team Champions. One-time International Wrestling Syndicate Tag Team Champions. One-time Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Tag Team Champions. 2012 Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Dynamite.
Derivative.
DDT. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. 2012 SoCal Uncensored Match of the Year versus the Young Bucks in Future Shock. And then 2012 SoCal Uncensored Tag Team of the Year. This is where I breathe. There was so many.
You're about midway.
Yeah, about midway through all the things.
You gotta hold the.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you're midway. I'm
I like you're talking.
I'm not a professional.
It's fine. It's fine. Cool. Great. Yeah. So you guys, you've been together a long time.
Yep.
And then when did you come to AEW? Remind me again.
You were here at the beginning. Our first show was Fight for the Fall.
That's right. Yeah. You guys came in at the end of the Best Friends match.
No,
we had a promo after the end of. The Best Friends match at Fighter Fest, and we appeared at Double or Nothing.
Yeah,
as well.
Our very first appearance was Double or Nothing.
That's right.
That's the one.
The Dark Order, through the course of being with AEW, has changed a great deal, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were not able to travel during the pandemic,
correct?
Which was tough. Brody Lee comes in, and the Dark Order takes on a whole new, different look.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that had to be tough, not being able to come. Get here and wrestle during the pandemic.
Yeah, I don't know what the hardest part was. If it was like not being able to see what our creation was about, you know, what direction it was about to take,
right?
Or just knowing that there was nothing we could do because we were literally just stuck at home,
mm-hmm.
right? But it was tough because for about what was it like 3 months?
Almost four. Yeah, almost four. We were stuck at home.
We were just stuck home, and we would watch the product and. You'd be like, oh, I guess today we're doing this on TV, huh?
Right, right,
interesting.
Right,
here
right.
goes Dark Order.
Right.
It was especially unreal because you're at home and you also just had no timeline, right? Because we really didn't know what was going to happen that year.
Right.
We had no idea. To us, honestly, we were at home and we thought, well, they're going to cut international people because this is it for the year. I don't think international people will be coming back. Thank God it didn't
found
happen.
A way.
Here I am.
We found a way.
Yeah. Here I am.
Because really, we were just waiting on... the Canadian government to let us know what was going to happen with traveling, and the government had not been speaking about it at all for months. Wow. Like, we had no idea.
Trudeau.
So it was like, oh, every Monday, you know, stay tuned. We'll talk about something. And then 8 Mondays passed by and we're like, did you guys forget about the COVID? Like,
we want to leave.
We want to get back to work, you know?
Yeah. I think we've recovered okay, though. So
yeah,
we're fine.
I think so. Leading up to that, there was some great buildup for the Dark Order and the Exalted One that's coming. Mm-hmm. Some great videos that were done. You had to be happy with the direction of that because it was a big part of the show.
We were very pumped for it.
So. We were very excited, especially because Brother Lee was a personal friend to us. So we were very excited for his arrival and just what was going to be coming up. And the buildup was great. The interactions we had online with Matt Hardy with the teases were great.
Right.
I got a lot of good promo time. We had a lot of great video work from the AEW team. I think that's really when things started to turn and we were getting – because there was a point where we were not looked at very favorably. But at that point, it was starting to the opinion was starting to turn. But unfortunately, we also then disappeared for 4 months.
So. It was kind of interesting the way that it, like, you guys had introduced the Exalted One, but then the timeline sort of broke. Mm-hmm. And then the Exalted One appears when you're not there. It's just kind of the funny way the timing worked out.
It was just the worst possible timing.
Yeah.
Like, we got to have the Exalted One appear for that one time. And then as we were launching this phase of Dark Order, us Dark Order were now out of the Dark Order.
So. Yeah, the original, what is it? Someone said the middle manager of Dark Order.
Me. Yeah, hello. Hi. I do all the hard work.
Interesting you say you guys knew Brody. I, of course, didn't know that you knew Brody, but you guys obviously had worked with him before. So it was easy being able to work with him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we had been friends for, I think we met him over 12 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Was our, I think I met him on my second time ever in the United States for wrestling.
Uh-huh.
We were on a show with for Chikara, and I met Brody for the first time. And right away, he was just awesome.
Yeah,
you know, like
we hit it off very quickly.
Yeah. He's one of the greats in our business throughout the years. Not only as a wrestler, but as a person.
True sweetheart. Honestly.
Yeah, and I know his death really floored us all. But I know especially guys that work closely with him,
of course,
you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, mostly because also, like, with the Exalted One, the whole storyline, we were about to do the best work of our life with a guy we've considered our best friend for so long.
Sure.
And come in with, like, the chemistry already.
Instant.
When Brody was coming over, at first, we weren't even sure to propose to him to be the Exalted One because we thought, well, he's been in the team the whole time. Mm-hmm. Now he's probably going to want to have like a single run. And he was like, no, I'm in, guys. Let's fucking do this. Like, all right. Let's go.
Yeah.
The thing I really loved about Brody is how he consistently, and it kind of sucked because you guys weren't there, but when you had the ability to come to America, this was the case. But, like, he wanted everyone who was in the Dark Order there every week.
Yes.
He pushed for Alex and Silver and Anna. Like, everyone who was in the Dark Order needed to be there to really help build the, like, dynamic of what the Dark Order was and you guys as a group. And funny enough, I mean, you guys started as, like, a cult and heels, but now you're a cult and baby faces because you just want to have more friends.
Mm-hmm.
So how...
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? I mean, everyone loves friends, right? That's why we're all here today.
I have enough.
Yeah, it's fine. You don't need any more.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I understand, Tony. You're a popular man. Popular man.
Tony does not want to join the Dark Order. That's where
Christmas
we're going to...
Spoilers. Expensive now.
Yeah, you have how many kids?
5.
Too many.
Oh, wow.
So how did the Dark Order idea come about?
Honestly, we were doing something called the SSB back on the Independence because we were trying to... So I was a video game guy for about a decade back when I was Player Uno. And we kind of wanted to distance ourselves from the name and also from being video game guys at the time because it kind of pigeonholed us into being a specific role.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't really get much growth, much story stuff when you're just two little guys playing video games, right?
Yeah.
And so we wanted to switch around. And so we made drastic changes to become heels and be more like focused on, like, originally it was not even cult focused when we were doing on the Independence, but it kind of grew into that because we started running a school and our students would become the creepers that were ones at AEW.
It was a way for us to have them travel with us, build bridges, and then take bumps every now and then so that we don't take bumps.
There you go. Investment.
Smart.
That's
smart.
Very smart. It, right?
But honestly, it was a way to make it made it seem like we had a cult following. And so that when we eventually did come to AEW, we brought that call following with us. And then we had a discussion fairly early on when television was starting that we wanted to go full tilt on the cult stuff. We wanted to go more in a Scientology aspect. And that's when the video work started coming in. And that's when We were given more time to try and approach people on the shows, and we had approached Christopher Daniels early on, and then Marco Stunt as well, and Jungle Boy. And from there, I mean, it just kind of organically grew into different versions. Obviously, Brody came in as the Exalted One. That wasn't like always originally the plan, but I mean, it definitely helped us an immense amount. Brody came in and did the best work of his life. Right. And honestly, we're forever thankful and in his debt for what he did for us.
Yeah.
And now organically, we're where we are now. We just want friends. It's pretty sweet.
It is sweet. And I want to touch on something. You said so long, that was your kind of your calling card. The Exalted One is arriving.
Mm-hmm.
The Exalted One is arriving. And my friends would ask me, who's the Exalted One? I said, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when you started that, did you not know who it was going to be? Or
I'll be honest. We started in so we had our December beating at the very, very end of the year, which was universally hated.
Oh, is that the one with the punching where it didn't even
That's
hit?
The one.
The whole thing was a mistake.
That creeper
were those
not,
your students?
Is that the group?
No. Those were just random extra we had on the show.
Yeah.
And
definitely not the students of Student
Uno. No, they would know how to punch.
we would have posted their face. Like, hey, you guys remember that guy who sucks? It's this guy.
He's been kicked out of the school forever.
No, we had that day. There were so many bodies, and every time we have extras, so we would take the time to teach him, like, the throne he would sit on, and, like, if you can't do this, don't do it. Like, you can just stand there or choke someone with your foot. You don't have to throw punches. You don't have to. If there's something you can't do, don't. And then on, like, this whole segment was a catastrophe from beginning to end.
So
it was,
So because of that segment, we had a discussion with Tony about integrating a leader character. And so it kind of gave
higher
us a direction.
Power.
But to be entirely honest, we genuinely didn't know who it was for several months.
Sure.
I think, we personally didn't know who it was until like 3 weeks before.
Okay.
Because nothing was like, we were told, this is what we're going for, but at any moment, it could change.
Yeah.
It's wrestling, right? Like anything can happen.
Cards
so we had a good
change.
Idea for a while, and 3 weeks before it happened, like, yes, it's confirmed.
There were some names floated around, and obviously Brody was within.
Matt Hardy was floated around. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is going around, but Dr. Luther was floated around originally.
Yeah.
There were other people that weren't directly told to us, but I heard that were floated around as ideas. But it landed on Mr. Burley, and honestly, that was the best thing that could have happened for us.
That's what we wanted, so.
Yeah, it works out. You got that built-in chemistry. Two other guys in the Dark Order I want to touch on real quick is John Silver and Alex Reynolds, who originally were booked as local dudes.
Yeah.
And then we started flying them everywhere as local dudes, which was kind of crazy. But they started the process of joining the Dark Order and then eventually becoming the recruitment specialists, and now they're kind of on their own skyway to success. What was the decision to sort of bring them into the Dark Order, and how did you guys mesh as a group that originally started as two tag teams that's now one faction?
Well, the idea was that when we started recruiting, we knew we wouldn't be able to recruit like when we said we approach Marco and Jungle Boy, we knew we couldn't get them right now because they were starting their own gimmick, their own storyline.
Right.
So we knew we would have to approach people that are on the show but are ultimately like useless at the moment. So when they would bring them over, John and Alex, and they would make them job, and they had no purpose. So we said, hey, we know they can go.
Yeah,
we wrestled them once years ago.
Well, you're all sort of from the same area too.
You run
the same circles. You know their guys.
We've
are
wrestled
dependable.
On the same promotions, and so we know of them. And we had befriended previously, and on the first few shows though, they were losing within seconds to Moxley or losing within seconds to LAX. And so to us as a story beat, if we were going to make winners out of losers, your first few shows, you've already told people these people are the losers. And we know they're very talented. So when we did our Scientology pitch, they're the first people I suggested. I said, we can make these guys at least last more than a minute on these shows.
We could give them somewhat of a purpose in the promotion.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And honestly, they're very entertaining on their own. And
100%.
Once you give them the platform, here they are today.
Because most of the time in wrestling, all you need is that one shot to make yourself interesting or, you know, just worthy.
You say that one line, you do that one thing, and then just immediately people connect with it. And that was our way of saying, hey, let's
give it a try with these guys, because we knew, like, at the very least, we knew they could wrestle. You know what I mean? So it worked out really well.
We're talking with the Dark Order, Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, and this is AEW Unrestricted. We have more to talk with them about, how the Dark Order became the Dark Order that we see today.
This is AEW Unrestricted, your co-host, the lovely Tony Schiavone, and the solid six, Aubrey Edwards. We're here today with Stu and Uno. Fantastic, guys. As we touched on in our first segment, you guys were previously the Super Smash Brothers. And I'm curious, did you ever get a cease and desist from Nintendo?
So everyone thinks we did, and that's why we dropped the name, but Nintendo didn't care.
Okay.
As long as we're not selling anything Nintendo-focused, they wouldn't really matter. And to be honest, we weren't making enough money for them to be bothered.
No one makes money on the indies, no.
And, but there's also, like, in the last few years, we dropped to just SSB, just in case someone could be like, oh, maybe implied. It means something else. Yes, then, Super Sexy Brothers.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it meant the whole time. All right. So you actually debuted as the Super Smash Brothers in 2009 in ROH.
Before that, we
had done Smash Brothers stuff well before that.
Right.
But yes, in Ring of Honor, that was our first match.
You guys actually had a rivalry with the Young Bucks at the time.
Yes. So in
early 2010,
2010 to 2012 in PWG, we had a rivalry with the Young Bucks, and then that kind of like gravitated to other promotions as well.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember you guys had that awesome ladder match with them.
Correct.
And I think it was Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole.
That's right. Yeah. They were Future Shock at the time.
Fun fact. My husband was in a tag team for a bit, and they had a big old tables match, so they just stole a bunch of spots from that match.
Everyone does. Yeah. Everyone
right.
does.
And everyone's like, oh, it was so innovative. You put him in the ladder upside down. And it's like, ha, ha, ha. They haven't seen it. This is great.
ever since we started doing PWG, we would literally go on show, and we would have to tell people, don't do that spot. They're like, oh, but I invented it. No, you stole it from the last PWG video, and I'm in that spot. Oh, yeah, sorry, Stu. Yeah, I'm sure you are. Fuck off.
Yeah.
So many times.
Yeah. I was very unfamiliar with your guys' work, but, I mean, it's very apparent that you guys do some incredible things. And I've said this so many times, you can do all the great videos you want, and I want to get into that here in a minute, but when the bell rings and you can perform, that's when you really, really get over, as you guys know. And it was the stuff that you've been doing lately, obviously, has been very entertaining, but the matches have been very good as well. And I wanted to talk about the change of the Dark Order, because I guess we can go back to BTE when that kind of all evolved.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. That was kind of that was the turning point on where we became de facto good guys.
Right.
It just, we became too likable, honestly, is what it became.
I think it was interesting because had we not been in a pandemic, I think you guys would have had the turn much earlier, purely because you were so over the
crowd for sure.
If we had a crowd, there would have been no other choice but to put us on TV a whole lot more and make us turn babyface. Because at that point, were we even the bad guys? Like,
no, you had a Chili sponsorship and everything. Yeah. Like,
and honestly, we only really started doing BTE because it was kind of a fight or flight situation, not the team. Which are from Canada, whatever. We weren't certain what our positions were anymore because we had been gone for 4 months, and Alex and John also didn't know where their positions were because they were unsure if management people externally liked them.
Right, because so 10 actually, had come in and 5 had come in, and you're worried about your spot and everything.
And so, like, we all knew we had personalities, but we didn't have a way to.
We didn't have a platform to show our personality.
Yeah, we could do promos and we could do the sinister videos, but you can't really show who you are as a person that way. Mm-hmm. And so we thought BTE would be a good aspect because it's more of a comedic show, so we can kind of be more lighthearted. We didn't anticipate that we'd be like, we were gearing up to 11.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insanity.
We're done with a video, we're like, did we go too far again?
Yes.
I don't know, but
did we just
far.
Say we wanted to see his dick while he pees? Like, did we? Yeah, we did.
I may have said that, yes.
You may have said it, I think, twice in a row, like two episodes.
Mentioning we've all seen each other's asshole, like, what the fuck? Like,
you have one guy who's addicted to coke, and you're just like, yeah, okay, whatever.
So we may have pushed it a little too far, but I think that's also what people are interested in, which is very odd, but I'm having the time of my life, to be honest. It's so much fun to have a group of people that not only are you working together as a faction, but you are genuinely friends with.
I love that we have the different locations at Daly's place where like promos will be filled and stuff, and there's like each room has a different, like there's the Rimrock bar, there's this room, and now there's like the Dark Order bar. That's just historic.
The clubhouse.
Yeah, that's just where you guys hang out. That's where you have slumber parties and build tents and where you break tables and
Oh, my table was expensive.
Oh, there was yeah. a lot of
I heard
for the table.
Backlash. Oh, I didn't even know about this because I was in the room during it. And so I found out a week later on BTE when they talked about the table costing $800.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I sent a message to Matt. He's like, oh, yeah, the last week was a little rough on you guys. And I was like, none of this came to me. I had no idea about it.
Everyone's talking about the heat behind your back.
Mm, yes. Yes.
Okay, you guys were two over us. So that's the advantage.
That's true. Right? That's right.
Couldn't get rid of us yet.
The trademark became kind of throwing paper in your face.
It was.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually suggested that to Brody because I was like, if I do a Wilhelm style scream, I can get a good comedic reaction out of it. And then it just became the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Was just – eventually we kind of had to tone it down because I was falling for papers over tables and chairs and stuff.
Right, right.
At some point, I was like, on television, I'm going to get beaten by anything if that's the case.
You're going to take a bump and die.
Also, yeah.
We also didn't want to kill the joke either. So.
Yeah. So right. then we wanted
to keep it for the right moment.
So then we moved it over to John, and then that became its own thing as well.
Sure.
And then now that heat is on to five. Yeah. Will it be later? I don't know.
Right. The heat on Anna has always been on me for some reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
That always kind of worked. I like that dynamic that you two have. The Valentine's Day episode was probably my favorite where it's like, to Stu, open it up. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Or fuck off or whatever it said. And I'm just like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's absolutely great stuff.
I was on my way to do one of the episodes, Dynamite, and Brody grabbed me. He said, come in here. I need you for just a second.
He pulled me in the bar,
what the fuck are we doing? He said, just... somebody's hit you in the face with a paper. I want you to say, what the fuck? I said, okay. And we did. And I watched it back and I went, damn, for something that was like thrown together on the fly.
Oh, yeah.
That really worked.
We do. Every single BT has about a minute planning and is one take. And that's probably why they get so raunchy is that they get tilted to the extreme instantly. And same as you know, because we had no idea what we were doing until you were asked.
Right. So
it's, we just create magic. That's all it is.
Ooh, yeah. So BTE, obviously created by Young Bucks and Kenny, the whole Elite thing. And we touched on how you guys had matches with them. At what point did the Young Bucks approach you to join All Elite Wrestling?
So we were talking with them before AEW was even announced. So we were on the
2018. You were one of the early.
Yeah. So we were
like
on the
summer.
It was like late November.
Late November.
So they had told us they had something in the works. They couldn't tell us really the details because of whatever legal so on.
Contracts
but they said,
everywhere. And
they said, if anything's offered your way, do know we're about to offer you something. And mysteriously enough, Ring of Honor had offered us something literally 2 days after that discussion.
Wow, the timing.
And so we passed it on, and in November we started having the – because we're Canadians, the paperwork and the visa application took so long.
Right.
We were amongst the first – few people as far as wrestling talent to be signed.
Yeah, so you're charter members.
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's right.
Our charter members. We're talking to Evil Uno and Stu Grayson about the change in the Dark Order. Now, Anna Jay became a member of the Dark Order.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard so many stories about when she walked out with a mask on her face, and everybody says, okay, she's gorgeous. Why does she have a mask
on? That's literally the statement that was said in the women's locker room. It's like, they put the prettiest girl in the mask. Yeah. Like, what the hell are we doing? They just lost money.
The very first idea was actually to cover her whole face to piss people off.
No.
We're supposed to be
Ill. Because originally our whole process was that Brody was going to say she was too pretty for to current day's wrestling.
Right, I've heard
that.
Current
day's wrestling
is not about
work rate and not what...
how you look.
Typically
that's like
been
extreme
women's
heel.
Wrestling.
Yeah,
we wanted,
oh my God.
We wanted to piss people off, like cover her whole face for a while until we finally allow her. But then they're like, oh, let's make that pretty face mask. And we're like, no, that's fucking, no.
And honestly, she's just too attractive.
Yeah, so. She's gorgeous.
She's wonderfully gorgeous.
Right, yeah. And she's had an injury. She's going to be out for a while.
Yes.
Obviously, you've got been supportive of her, and you can still use her in your
BTE. She can still shove you with one arm.
Yes.
I'm sure she
can. And
if
she doesn't, someone else will for her.
I'm sure. I'm sure Pretty Lee will show up and hurt me really badly.
Yeah. Be like, I'm Anna Jay. Push.
Yeah. But she's meshed quite well with you guys. I mean, we were talking about the Valentine's Day episode, and she's been showing her personality on
She this. Has. Yeah. And I'll see, it's been a good vehicle for... At first it was a vehicle for ourselves and John and Alex, to be honest, but it's been a great vehicle for Five and for Ten and for Anna to show personality. Colt as well, who stumbled his way into the group and kind of just stayed, but now has been a fixture of the group as well.
Right. What is he, number eight?
He is number eight.
Okay.
We've yet to say it on Dynamite, though, but yes, he is number – I gave him the number – a while ago. It's on his gear and such.
So you're number 1, 2.
Correct.
Alex are 3 and 4, mm-hmm. Silver.
5 is 5.
5 is 5. 6.
Is X-Pac, yes.
Yeah. It's X-Pac. We have reserved that number for that one.
Just in case. Okay.
Just 7 is Dustin, know. Just in case he does take you up on the offer.
That's right. And then 8 and 9 were on a Dynamite once. 9 was also in a 6-way with us as well.
Right.
We cannot disclose who 9 is.
No.
And 8, we actually got kicked out. Brody powerbombed him, and he is no longer in this
group. Right, which is why Colt took that number, because it was available.
It was retired, 10. So it's now given.
And then Anna's 99.
Yeah. So she got like the very end of the spectrum, also because Wayne Gretzky. But
right,
yeah.
The greatest.
And then 10, obviously, is 10.
Right, so you currently have 11 through 98 available.
I mean, we have been giving it out to the people who send the emails to us, but okay.
There's a lot of numbers.
There are some reserved numbers that we are looking. You know, there is Ty Conti. You know,
oh, that's right,
Mr.
Right.
Adam Page. Yeah, maybe who Cowboys. I was thinking if X-Pac does not want to join us, X-Pac, open invite. But maybe Mr. Adam Page could be 6. You know, the perhaps. 6 shooter. You know, it's
a gun. That's smart.
It's that a gun.
He's a 6 shooter.
But this has got so much potential.
Thank you.
It really does.
This might be an exclusive break. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe. In hindsight, they'll go back a couple weeks and go, "That's where it was."
That's where X-Pac came in.
That huge run he had with us.
It was planned the whole time.
Yeah. Then you got 10, mm-hmm. and I give 10 a hard time about his mask. Because I kept looking at the mask. I said, what the hell is that? Oh, that's a 1 and a 0 on your face. I had to really stare at it like, it looked like that you made this mask when you were drunk or something.
Right.
I was like, did they
run out of fabric? Like, what happened?
Yes.
Like,
he ran out of fabric between his 2 ears.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
But we still love number 10.
But I love that because now you have Brody Lee Jr., who mm-hmm. is -1.
Yeah. Correct.
Who basically looks like a tiny 10.
Yep.
And likely someday will just be 1.
Right.
At some point.
And ultimately... And ultimately, he's sort of become the new de facto leader of the Dark Order.
It's because we just can't say no to him, to be honest.
No one can. He's
the most terrifying member of our unit.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes, exactly.
People don't realize it, but every time he's at Dynamite, I have welts all over my body because he beats me constantly.
Yes, I know.
And one thing that I really hate is that people think we're like, using him or abusing
he's having a time of his life.
We don't have a choice.
Absolutely not.
That's right.
His whole life is about waiting to finally show up to Dynamite.
I know that.
Beat the living piss out of us.
Right.
Book the whole show.
Right.
And then go home. That's what he does.
There was actually, like, maybe peeling behind the curtain a little too much. So we always have a bunch of darks after Dynamite. And I remember, like, somebody coming back and saying, okay, we got to move all the Dark Order matches up because Brody Lee Jr. is tired and he wants to go home. And we're like, he's literally booking the show.
He's got school in the morning. Yeah.
Right. And then everyone's just like, well, we can't say no. Like he's brutally like
he's wonderful.
He's the coolest kid.
I accept the beatings because he's that cool of a kid. Yeah.
Right. I wish I was that cool when I was 9. Yeah. Like,
and genuinely, for a 9-year-old, is smarter than most wrestlers in my area.
He gets wrestling.
He's like, very well.
When he tells her, "I'm going to cut a promo tonight," so I'm going to say that so they'll have a reaction. Yeah. I'll just feed off of it, and I'm like, what? You're 9 years old.
And
there are people
incredible.
In wrestling who don't cut as good of promos as this.
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. The other one, too, is like in his 45-minute Iron Man match with Marco.
Yes.
Once at an after party.
He did
the whole, like, grab him by the arms rather than, like, pull his hair up. And I was like, oh, brother's a worker.
Oh, yeah, he knows. He knows what he's doing.
When he wants to protect you, he will. When he doesn't, you're screwed.
Yes. Right. He will make sure that the pad is pulled off the couch before he gives you the candy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
It's a great story. It really is. Really props to you guys for taking care of him, because I know it was tough for all of us, but you guys in the Dark Order really took him under your wing and made him a part of it. And it was special. It was special for everybody.
It's really special to us, too. I'm more than happy to do it.
Yeah,
we
love
it.
Yeah.
It's a big part of my life as well.
Right, it's a big part of all our lives when he's there. Just to show you what type of kid he is, I saw him in the back one day. He calls me, Shivani. I was like, Shivani, what are you going to say tonight, Shivani? So I went like this. I went like that. And when I went like that, he did a leg dive.
Yeah, he went right for it. Yeah. He's done amateur wrestling. He's very good.
He's a savage.
And I was doing like, stop it. Yeah. I don't work. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here.
The first time after the Mr. Brody Lee Memorial show that I had seen him was like 2 weeks later. And I see him across the room at the hotel. I'm like, hey, how's it going? And he slaps me the hardest I've ever been slapped in the face. And he's like, hi. And he walks away.
Just asserting his dominance.
Yeah, I was like,
sure.
Oh,
Janice.
Just letting us know. The next 2 days are going to be brutal, I guess. Yeah.
Before we go to fan questions, that show
yes.
was, if any show was ever booked correctly,
that was the one.
That was the one.
Yes.
That's the one show that is we're going to remember for a long, long time for many reasons.
It's ingrained in my memory, but I also refuse to go and watch it. I can't go back and watch it. Emotionally, I can't revisit it.
We went from that night, like, crying and laughing and crying and nonstop. It was emotionally the hardest day of our life, but the most welcome at the same time. Yeah. It was very necessary
for everyone. Not only Dark Order, but like the whole roster, I think, needed that day.
Yeah, I agree. It was a moment we'll never forget. Okay, fan questions are coming up for Dark Order.
There were more than, I think, any other group, so I'm excited about this. This is AEW Unrestricted. Tony Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards here with Evil Uno and Stu Grayson of the Dark Order. We're at fan questions, which I had to turn off my notifications on Twitter because there were just so many.
Quite popular.
Quite popular. Mm. So sorry for not having you guys on sooner. First off, apologies to everybody because this is clearly a mistake on our part.
Yes, definitely.
It wasn't. We'll find someone else to blame. It'll be fine.
Yes.
All right. First question. Stacey.
No blame.
Always Stacey. Sorry, Stacey. First question from AEW Liquid on Twitter. If you could have actors or artists in the Dark Order, who would it be and what would be their numbers?
I want Fred Durst in.
You
want Fred Durst?
Oh, hell yeah.
You think he changed the red hat to a purple one?
I think you would if you paid enough money.
So. I think so, too.
I think so. Yeah, enough money would make it.
What are you going for numbers, though? I don't know what I would
for
give
number?
You.
Number? Oh. How many fucks he says in that
47.
Song? 40. There you go.
47?
Yeah. 40. 47.
Number 47. Fred Durst. You heard it here, folks.
All right.
Durst. I'd go Jackie Chan, a personal hero of mine.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
That would be great.
I think he'd fit great. Yeah. As for number, let's go simple and say 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, someone like Bill Gates or Elon Musk, just for the money.
That's smart. Wow.
You just got to fund the Dark Order.
That should have been our first pick.
BTE will be filming a private jet
on the moon
or something like.
You guys suddenly have your own cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Uno coin's coming.
Dark Order is multinational.
That's a great idea. Wow. Tremendous. Let's see. Let's go to Tony Commentates on Twitter.
With you?
Steal that damn name. Okay. What's the best advice Mr. Brody Lee ever gave you guys?
For me, it might be the same thing for you. It wasn't about wrestling itself. It was about when you're not wrestling. He was telling me, if you're stressed at work, like you care about your wrestling, getting over, having good matches and all this, it's all right. You have to perform and you have to be hungry and want more. Mm-hmm. But once you get home, you're home. Forget it.
Yeah.
Live your life, be with your family,
be
a husband, a father, whatever. Once you're home, just be home. Otherwise, it's just going to eat you alive.
It's been the same advice for me, honestly. Yeah. Essentially, he was such a great family person that once you're home, don't let this anxiety affect your real life. Yep. But, you know, enjoy the time you have with your family.
Another question on Twitter. Stu, why did you drop the Vega mask? It was badass.
So at first I wanted to keep using it, but then it also limit my amount, like my facial expression. And
true.
Like in the entrance when we do the pose, I wanted my face to be seen on TV more and more. And I have a lot of expression. Like I'm
pissed off.
Always angry, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted that to be shown. And since we did not have that many matches on TV, but a lot of entrances, like I felt like if I want to put my face out there, I need to drop the mask. It doesn't mean it won't be back, but as of now, I have not found something TV worthy, in my opinion. Okay. So.
That's a good answer.
That is a great answer.
Got to make that money.
Got to make that money.
Giancarlo on Twitter, Evil Uno, I love your middle management style role in the Dark Order.
Thank you.
My friends and I always crack up seeing you holding everything together. When will we get more Evil Uno on the mic in the ring? We miss it so much.
I don't know when I can answer that question. I do not make decisions, but I really appreciate
Talk to Brody Lee Jr. because he clearly does. He books the show.
Yeah. Well, if Lil Brody, I hope you're watching this.
Yeah.
Next Dynamite. Throw me in a match. Also, 12-minute promo. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Golden segment. Open the show.
I want to be the 9 o'clock crossover.
that's how you make the money, that 9 o'clock crossover. Mask 7. I get it. That's funny. Use numbers. Haha. On Twitter. Stu, what's the secret behind your incredible athleticism? What inspires you to put out so much great work?
Very young, I realized that the thing I was doing best is fight. So when I was about 6 years old, I started martial art.
Okay.
I've been fighting for about 26 years now. Ooh. So my whole body, my whole training, my whole life is based around the fact that my body needs to be it's the fastest, the strongest, right. the best it can be. So martial art, I've got – so I'm a black belt in karate. Mm-hmm. I'm a black belt in taekwondo. I'm a black belt in kickboxing. I've done trampoline, free run, gymnastic, and now I've got 15 years of wrestling. Mm. So I built my body in order for it to be the best it can be.
To be
and
beat up by anything.
Yeah. So,
including so trampolines.
If, so I can survive mm-hmm. if Anna pushes me really hard. But
that's why the bumps are always so impressive.
They're so impressive,
I get
right?
It.
Ah. I survive. But and my my training, my workouts are very, very intense, and I all my workouts are made for so that it's practical strength, mm-hmm. so I can do anything. So that's right. why if I need to lift a new wrestler who's 7 feet tall, mm-hmm. 450 pounds in a great match on Dynamite for 30 minutes, I will easily lift that man.
Hello, Paul.
Is that what I was talking about, Paul, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I will do it, and yeah. I will break him upon my knee.
Wow.
Because, Paul, you're a wuss.
Ooh, fighting words.
No, man. Because I'm going to eat this. I'm the one that's going to get beat up. It won't even be
yeah, you go through him first so I can like see
Uno's
how, how bad you are, like how angry you are, and then I'll wrestle you, Paul.
Ooh, so there. He's a badass. Don't fuck with him.
Yeah.
We've all known that, and thank you very much for your question. Mr. Uno, this is from Claire on Twitter. Mr. Yes. Uno, how many hours of opera classes did it take to perfect that scream when you got hit by the papers on BTE?
I've never had opera class, mm-hmm. Nor have I ever really sung other than karaoke. I love karaoke, so if
really?
You count those hours, maybe, I don't know, 6 months worth of
what is
karaoke?
Your go-to karaoke song?
I'm a Backstreet Boys guy, mostly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Ooh, that a Kid Crowd Rock favorite. Song also.
That Kid Rock song, Lonely Road of Faith.
Yeah.
I'll do anything. I'll attempt rap. I'm not very good at it. I'm the guy that if you throw a song on and people don't want to
no
sing
one knows
to it,
who put it on.
I don't even know the song and I'll sing it.
Give him the mic.
Karaoke's fun. I haven't done it in quite some time.
Do you have a choice karaoke songs too?
Very much Backstreet Boys as well. If there's some Katy Perry, Tenacious D,
good.
Lonely Island, that's gonna be my
firework.
Jam.
Firework. Yeah.
Oh, firework.
Oh, oh. Choice.
What a song, right?
Come on.
What a song.
For sure, yeah.
Tony, do you have a choice karaoke song? I don't know if this is ever something we've covered on the podcast.
Well, yes. I there's a lot of Frank Sinatra songs I like.
Ooh, classic. Yeah. Classic.
The Way You Look Tonight, My Way. Really old man boring shit.
No one else
can do that.
One of my constant is My Prayer by the Platters as well.
Oh,
that's good.
How about
the Piano Man?
Mine's WAP by Cardi B, so...
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
So that you.
All right. Kyle L. on Twitter. Stu, how does your knee survive the night fall? It looks so painful every time you do it. As someone who's torn their ACL multiple times, it makes me worry every time you do it.
It's funny because even like every wrestler in AEW is asking me the same thing. How is your knee not broken by now?
Right.
And it's simple physique. Like once I hit... Can you see my knee from there?
Watch the video version of the podcast if you want to see the demonstration.
The knee has to be a perfect 90 degree. If the kneecap is right over your heel, the power behind the leg is exponentially stronger.
Right.
And as I bring the dude down, I make sure like the position, if I'm sideways a little bit, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
But if it's perfect, the amount of pressure the knee can take is astronomical.
Wow.
And through like the last 20 years of martial art and all this stuff, like when we used to train, we would get our like leg hit with kendo stick or
by little Brody.
No. Like the training for martial arts to toughen up like your legs is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So years and years of that, I suppose. But yeah, it's really the 90 degree is the most important thing.
Today you got a physics lesson as well as getting to listen to
that's great stuff, man.
Evil
that's,
Uno,
that's kind of a first on our show, isn't it?
Yeah, actual physics demonstration,
right?
Physics is a move, yeah.
I like it. You got your X vector, you got your Z vector. Like I'm trying to figure
you
out crossing the dot product.
Honestly, wrestling is a lot about science. Like
it is.
There's a
it's
huge
force,
amount of it.
It's all physics. It's forces,
momentum.
I mean, let's be honest. Everything is about science. If we're gonna get to that debate,
if we're getting deep in philosophical,
smart ass, thank you for that one. Okay.
They're Canadians. Their school system's better than ours.
Okay. Okay. So that's great stuff, guys. The Total Lackage on Twitter.
Mm.
Great name. So I'm sure you are a lackey, but that does not have anything to do with this. Thank you for your question. Picture, yeah. Uno and Stu have a very unique contrast in style as a tag team that blends together nicely. Not many teams in the past have a similar makeup. Were there any teams, even short-lived, that you looked up to as a blueprint for your success?
As a blueprint?
I never really had a blueprint on who we I'll be honest, we kind of just feed off each other because I know his strengths, he knows mine.
Right.
There was Kevin Steen and El Generico on the Independents who were very crucial to our success. And so they also had a similar dynamic. And so our dynamic kind of became similar just by being friends.
One of you wears a mask. Oh, my God. That it is works.
The, what? What?
True story. They believe that El Generico is
my brother.
Brother and that Kevin Owens. Is my brother.
That we're also brothers.
But we're also brothers.
You're also
but
Canadian.
They're not brothers. Yeah,
but Kevin and El Generico are not brothers, which makes no sense because we can't.
Anyways. So other than that, also, I love the British Bulldogs. I love Hart Foundation.
I mean, we also grew
Hart Foundation is very similar to what
we grew up with some of the best tag team wrestling, like the years of the Edge and Christian,
right.
And the Dudley Boys and the Hardys and all like. So we got to watch a lot of this. But in terms of like, what we became, I think a thing that was really important for us is that we are two completely different individual. That either if we're a tag team or in singles, we are our own people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But together we're like we there's complete each other. Regardless.
There's not a lot of team that has that, so I think that's one of a big advantage for us. So
nice, Ricky Stark style consultant on Twitter.
Ooh,
that's totally a word.
Wow.
Because nobody
tell me where he gets his shirts.
How does wrestling in Montreal, where French is predominantly spoken, differ from wrestling in the rest of North America, where English is the norm, or is there even a difference?
It's mostly English speakers. English is universal through wrestling, but there is a subsection of Quebec, which is where Montreal is, the province that Montreal is, that speaks solely French. And so, of course, a lot of the wrestling stuff will be French words. We're both French, so originally French, so but to us, it doesn't make much of a difference.
In terms of like wrestling moves, name, and stuff like that, it's going to be in English.
Yeah.
Because there's like clothesline in French would be la corde à linge. And
it doesn't sound menacing at all.
No, not
it's
at all.
Really like it's literally the description of what a clothesline is.
Right.
A power bomb is le pouvoir de la bombe, which is just, it sounds insane in French. Right. Someone could, like, I would be planning a match with someone and he would be calling me those names and be like, I don't know what you're saying, man.
It does not translate.
What is going on?
You want the shorter version, so if you're calling it in the ring, you have less to talk about.
Like someone calls me a spot, I'd be like, why are we talking about this? Like, what is it?
Even if you're in a French-speaking province, it's still, you're still watching English wrestling, so you learned it from TV mostly.
Exactly. Yeah. I know working with the Joshis, they tend to use the same like English words for a lot of the moves as well. So it is universal, right?
JR teached wrestling in English to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about it.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? People thought slobberknocker was a real word growing up?
Right.
It's not.
Sorry. Spoilers. It's not.
Damn it.
Ghost X Empire. That's Ghost X Empire on Twitter for Uno. Mm-hmm. How many masks do you have and what is your favorite one?
Throughout my career, I've had probably like 40 plus masks.
Wow.
Currently, this is my favorite one. I only wear my leather bound masks for television. And then I have a few masks that are made from a Japanese individual who also makes Excalibur's masks called Soi Takeda. And I wear those on Twitch. Currently, I believe I still have 13 of my masks.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Frank Tiano on Twitter asks, for both of you, do you have a place that you want to go to once AEW is up and running after the pandemic ends?
In terms of vacation or wrestling?
Wrestling.
Wrestling?
Like, where would we be touring?
A venue, a place to wrestle.
One of the places I was really excited to go, which was planned for us, was New Orleans.
Because
I've never been there, and I wanted to party there.
Right.
That's like, that's just for
that's dangerous for our company to go to.
Yeah, you know, with the boys we have here, like, in New Orleans. Like, I'm sure at least two or three person would be dead.
Arrested?
It's true.
Dead prison or arrested.
Would be full. My money is on five.
Sure.
Five.
Yeah. 10 would be in prison for sure.
No, 10 would get out of prison because he'd offer someone drugs.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. Smuggle in his butt.
Yeah.
If I were
seems legit to me,
this is totally legit.
I'm gonna cut you off.
This
at the
is
butt.
All a fucking work we're talking about right now. Fucking work.
It's not real.
The difference between a shoot and a work. This is a work.
It is not real.
Okay.
I'm on the butt stuff. I'll cut you there. Sure. Two venues I would love to do Centre Bell in Montreal, just because it'd be. We're not from Montreal, but it would essentially be our hometown base as far as a large show.
We basically grew up.
And then I'd love to aim high and let's do Tokyo Dome.
Tokyo Dome, Madison Square Garden, obviously. Yeah, like sure. The legendary arenas for sure.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Each of them.
Absolutely.
Okay, we have. Let's do one more question because you mentioned Twitch, I believe.
Correct. Yes. I did.
Flower of Manchester on Twitter. Mm. Will Stu ever join Uno for Twitch Among Us shenanigans?
I don't know if Stu knows how to play Among Us. His laptop can barely do like video stuff.
The question is, do I know what video games are at this point? It's been so long. I actually don't know what Among Us is.
How do you not know? If you follow any of the people on Twitter, you know what Among Us is.
He doesn't really like social media either.
That's true.
I'm not a big fan of the internet, just in general. Without wrestling, I would probably not use electricity.
If it's not working out or if it's not chocolate molten lava cakes, Stu doesn't care about it.
I don't really care, no.
But I'd love to have him around. We used to play cooperative games and stuff back in the day.
I would like to do something on Twitch. I'm trying to maybe have him set up everything for me so I don't have to think about it.
There you go.
Maybe do something workout, wrestling related on Twitch.
That'd be fun.
I don't know if people would be interested in it. I think I would like to do that, something along the line.
That'd be super fun. Yep.
Well, we are out of time, but Stu, you have become my hero because you're a badass to everybody's ass. You'll give a shit about the social media.
Hell yeah.
That's right. Yeah, man. You're the man. Fuck. There you go.
All right. Thank you both for being here.
Man.
Thank you.
It was fun. We'll have to obviously edit out some of what Aubrey says, but that's it.
We always do.
That is a common occurrence.
How about we just like put a figurehead in front of her entirely?
Right? Yeah. Just like
Excalibur
blank
can
me
voice
out.
Over. He's used to it.
He can.
Yeah.
He gets paid by the word. And
does he?
Oh, yeah.
And how do I speak so much?
Yeah.
How do I do that? Okay. How do I get that?
Okay, you can follow them on Instagram at evil.uno and Stu underscore Grayson.
Correct. Yep.
And on Twitter at evil uno and Stu underscore dose.
Subscribe to AEW Unrestricted for free wherever you get your podcast, new episode Thursday morning. And check us out on YouTube where you can see the great physics demonstration that Stu provided today.
It's tremendous.
Tremendous. Absolutely. And also my sick-ass jersey.
And my gorgeous eyes.
And your gorgeous eyes. There's a lot of cool things you should do when you watch the YouTube episode, uploaded generally on Mondays.
Right.
Just go to YouTube.
This part is a work again.
You have to go to YouTube and search AEW Unrestricted and watch all of the latest and prior episodes.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks, Evil Uno. Thanks, Stu.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on AEW
Unrestricted.
Thanks.